Hello, Pastor Vic here with another nugget of truth as we continue to examine the Gospel of John and the purpose for the miracles that are described there, the seven miracles, recognizing that they are not only miracles, but they are signs of God's awesome power. Now, remember, each of the Gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, were recounting the life of Jesus, and in particular, the ministry of Jesus. Each Gospel writer was writing from a different perspective and to a slightly different audience. We discussed that in previous posts. The first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, cover approximately the same materials and are often referred to as the Synoptic Gospels. The word synoptic or synopsis means a summary. Whereas John's Gospel is unique in that it is not so much a summary of Jesus' life and ministry, but is a clear look at Jesus as God incarnate. In other words, that Jesus is God. John focuses his writing on the miracles of Jesus, not as events, but as a sign of Jesus' power and authority over nature and life. All of the signs point to the fact that Jesus must be God in the flesh. Now, we'll continue to look at the miracles of Jesus, and I discussed the first four miracles in the last post, and so I'm going to continue on with the next three. So the fifth miracle is found in John chapter 6, Jesus walking on the water, and what this miracle shows is that he has control over the physical laws of nature by walking on water. Beginning in verse 15, therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountains by himself alone. Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and they went over the sea towards Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Then in verse 18 it says, then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. And so when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they became afraid. But he said to them, it is I. Do not be afraid. Then they willingly received him into the boat, and then immediately the boat was at land where they were going. Now that's an incredible story. I don't know about you, but if I saw someone walking towards me in the water, it would certainly grab my attention. And their attention was certainly on that figure walking across the water. And when Jesus said, it is I, do not be afraid, immediately their fear left him. And the threat that was threatening to overturn the boat immediately left. In other words, when you recognize that Jesus is on the scene, when you look for him, when you perceive him, when you sense him through his Holy Spirit, then you're going to find that the peace which passes all understanding will guard your heart and guard your mind. And just as a side note, the second miracle there is that when he got into the boat, they immediately ended up on land. There again, Jesus has control over the physical laws of nature. The sixth miracle we find in John chapter 9. And this is concerning, is one of my favorite miracle stories, but it's about the man who's born blind and he receives his sight. And what Jesus is demonstrating is that he has authority over even congenital defects by healing the man who was blind from birth. Verse 1. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Hallelujah. And when he had said these things, he spat on the ground, and he made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent, the pool of sent. So he went and washed, and he came back seeing. Hallelujah. What a powerful miracle. Now, I've heard people say, oh, that's disgusting. You know, he spit on the ground and he put it. Listen, he was blind and now he can see. I mean, whatever it takes for Jesus to do the work, we should all be willing to say, amen, whatever you want to do in our lives to bring healing and wholeness into our lives, Lord, do it and do it quickly. Of course, the seventh miracle is probably the most prominent miracle in the Gospel of John. And we see that in chapter 11. And that is the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And this greatest miracle was shown by Jesus and demonstrates Jesus' authority over death itself. How great is that? Beginning in verse 38, then Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. Remember earlier, he's told that Lazarus has died, and he waits 4 days. That's significant, because in Hebrew tradition, it was believed that the spirit of a man who had passed away would hover for 3 days and then leave. So Jesus waited 4 days so that there would be no question of the miracle that was about to take place. Anyway, he came to a tomb, and it was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Verse 39 says, Jesus said, take the stone, Martha, and move it away. Then Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he's been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? And then they rolled the stone away from the mouth of the tomb where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are here, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out, and he was bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Wow, what a powerful story of resurrection. But I have another story to tell you about resurrection, and that is the fact that you and I will rise again one day. We never have to fear death, because Jesus has conquered sin and death. And if we put our trust and our faith in him, then he has made a promise that he's the first fruit of the resurrection. He was the first to be resurrected by the Father God out of the tomb after 3 days in the tomb. But we are brothers. We are co-heirs of what he purchased at the cross of Calvary. We will also be resurrected one day. And where we're going is a far, far better place than where we are. And so Jesus showed that he had control over the physical laws of nature, but number one, by walking on water. I mean, that's pretty amazing. Jesus demonstrated his authority over congenital defects by healing the man who was blind from birth. And then, of course, the greatest miracle was shown by Jesus' authority over death itself. What is very true of our God is that nothing is impossible with him, and that everything seen and unseen was created by him. Link that with the fact that God loves you and that you have a God that will move heaven and earth for you. And then finally in John 21:25, the author writes, John writes, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Hallelujah. Amen. God is so good. I hope this series has been an encouragement with you in terms of looking at the miracles that John writes about. And the next post will be talking about the seven I am. So you know that the phrase I am is a word that God uses to describe himself. That's God's name. He is the great I am. And Jesus used the very same phrase about himself. I am, I am, I am, I am, I am, I am, I am. I think that's seven. God bless you. We'll see you the next time.